Continuing with the evils of being lazy. And I really want to finish the perek as long as it takes us. Hine anachnu roim be'ineinu kama v'kama pa'amim shekvar libo shel ha'odem yodeya chovaso. Person's problem is not his hashkofes. He knows very well what's right and what's wrong and what he has to do. In the samit zeslo masheroi lo lahatzolos nafsho. He knows what he needs to act in a way that he'll save himself. Umashechova lo mitzad boro. And he knows what he's required to do. Mitzad the rabbonu shel olam. The afal pi kein yanichu. And with all of that, intellectually, if you'll ask him, he'll tell you he knows everything. And still, he doesn't do what's right. Why? Lo michisor in hakoras achovahi, v'lo mishum tamachir. The reason that he fails to do what he knows is the right thing to do is because he's lazy. V'harihu omer ochel kima, I'll eat a little bit. O ishan kima, I'll sleep a little bit. O kosha light seis mi besi, it's hard to get up and to get out of the house. Poshatati eskutanti echechoel boshena, I'm going to have to get dressed again. I'm too lazy to do what he knows he really should be doing. It's too hot outside. Hakara rabba o akshomim. It's too cold outside. It's too rainy. The chol shar ha-maslos va-toanos. Amaslos are excuses where a person justifies what he's doing because he's lazy. And toanos are complaints. You don't necessarily justify it, but I have so many complaints, so maybe I can't do it. Asher piho atzolim molenehem. The mouths of lazy people are full of these excuses and complaints. Ubeinkach uveinkach, hatorah munachas v'avodim avuteles, v'ho'odim ozeh esboro. And because of this, the person doesn't do what he's supposed to do, and he ends up ignoring and deserting the Rabbanu shel olam, not hashkafically, just because he's lazy. Humash Shlomo Omer, that's what Shlomo Amela said. Batsvasayim Yimach HaMekore Uveshiflos Yodayim Yidlo Fabayis. Because people are lazy, they don't fix their roof. And when it leaks, because of Shiflos Yodayim Yidlo Fabayis, the whole house gets wet and dripped on. Meaning, because you're lazy, you don't bother to do what you have to do. And then you don't repair it because of shiflus adayim, because of a further kind of laziness. So it works both ways. A person doesn't do what he's supposed to do, and then when he ends up doing things that are not proper, he doesn't correct them because he's too lazy to do it. V'ulam im tishal es piho atzel, if you ask this lazy person, right, yovo lecho b'mamorim rabi mamori hachomim mikros, he'll bring you all kinds of proofs to defend, excuses to defend what he's doing. But Tainos Menasechel, he'll justify his laziness with all kinds of intellectual arguments. Asher kulam yoru lo kfi daito hamishubeshes lahokel olav ulahanicho benuchas atzluso. All these things are merely to give him the chance to be lazy, because it's not comfortable to do things that your conscience knows are wrong. So if you have the desire to be lazy and you don't want to put in effort, so you'll find all the kinds of excuses to justify your laziness. He doesn't realize that the reason that he has all these thoughts and ideas are not because they're really justifiable or because they are proper, right?
Legitimate,
that's the word. They're not legitimate. They're just excuses for his laziness. Elamim koratz luso him novin. They come from the source of his laziness. Asher biyosa hi goveris bo mata daito v'sichlo al tainus ha'il. Therefore it makes him think in this way because he doesn't want to put in effort. Wants to be lazy. And Mamela, he creates a whole fantasy world to bolster his laziness. The Maisa, I don't remember who it's about. It could be Rav Simcha Zissel, one of the Bali Musar. That there was somebody coming to the city, a Rav, but this Rav had done something that wasn't proper, And he felt that if he comes to greet him, as he did other rabbanim, goes out in his on his horse or in his wagon or whatever to greet him, he will be it'll be misconstrued as a condoning what this person did. Did something wrong, tzibur wise, and so this gadol. Right, felt that if he comes and gives the person the Kavod HaTorah of greeting him, welcoming him to the city, people will misconstrue it that it's an acceptance of the thing that he did wrong. So he decided not to go. Then he thought to himself, maybe I'm just lazy, and therefore I've convinced myself that it's not a proper thing to go schlepping out and greet this person because I'm lazy. So what did he do? He went, and then he turned around and didn't greet him. Just to make sure that the reason he wasn't going wasn't because he was lazy. So he went, he put in all the effort, except he didn't greet the person. He went exactly the amount that he went, turned around and went home. But he knew then that that it wasn't an excuse because he was lazy, but it was really based on the fact that he felt that it was the proper thing not to greet this person.
But sometimes the Yetzer Hara can convince you to do, not to do something with reason. No, with something that the person...
Yeah, that's a different thing. We're talking... But laziness can also be a reason to be convinced, right, that intellectually you're doing the right thing, when really, if you wouldn't be lazy, you would realize that it's just because you're lazy.
I don't think it's so, really crazy. The Rav Kiv looked like he was... there's a gadol.
Right.
So he's intrinsically not lazy. So now the Yetzer Hara is trying to say, well, maybe you're lazy and maybe not.
No. So I'm saying he was afraid that maybe he came to this conclusion that it's not the right thing to go and schlep out to greet this person because really he was lazy to do it, and this way he had to find some way of, right, and if he wouldn't involve effort and he wouldn't be lazy, then maybe he'd come to a different conclusion. So to make sure that that wasn't the case, he went. And then he made the decision. Now he can't because of laziness, so now the decision was made in the proper way. Yeah.
So if it's us,
what?
If it's us in that position, do we have to go there to make sure we're not lazy, or is there another way we can check out whether we're lazy or not without going there?
Again, somebody on that level is willing to do it. Somebody on a lower level has to work on the level that they're on. They can't just copy, you know, what other people do that's not really on their level. Right? So a person has to function on the level that they're on. And for us, maybe it's not necessarily have to go and go through all the motions and then decide, but maybe ask somebody else who's more objective and see if the cheshbon's a good cheshbon or not a good cheshbon, or it's being colored by a person's laziness or other desires or whatever. Okay. And therefore, he says, when a person's lazy, it induces him to come up with all kinds of excuses, and therefore, therefore he won't listen to anybody who disagrees with him, because he doesn't want to listen. Right? Who Masha Shlomo Sovach V'Omer, that's what Shlomo Mela screams about. Chacham Otzel Be'enov, Mishiva Mishivetam. And Otzel is wise in his own eyes, more than seven wise advisors. In other words, I don't want to hear it. Don't confuse me with the facts. I just don't want to do it. I'm too lazy. And therefore, I'm not going to listen even to people who really I should listen to. Ki ha'atzla enenu manachas lo shia filu chosh l'divrei ha'mochichim also. His laziness makes him totally impervious to anybody else's suggestions or musa. I'm not interested. So I can find a million excuses why I'm right. And really, the whole thing boils down to the fact that I'm just too lazy to do what's right. Okay. Eliyashiv akol toin v'sholkin v'hula vado chacham. Person will end up feeling everybody else is fools and making mistakes, and only I know the right thing. Right? And they'll argue with everybody, even people that they know that they shouldn't argue with and that they should accept Musar from or whatever, but if people have a desire, it's not just laziness, other things too, that can drive a person. Right? All kinds of taivas and all kinds of bias, right? You don't like somebody, you're not going to listen to anybody to tell you whatever about that person. You know better. And it's not really because you know better, it's because this is what you want to believe. Vihine teida kizek klal gadol menusa b'malechas haprishas. this applies also, this whole concept, to a person who should be refraining from doing various things, precious, right? Not indulging in certain things. Shekol kula tzricha bedika. This is a klal. Before you're lenient in something, check it out, that maybe the reason you're being lenient is not because it's the proper thing to do. Sometimes kulas are the proper thing. It's the Yetzirah is fooling you to tell you that really you have to be more lenient. This I want to speak about for a while. This whole idea of kulas, chumras, there is a philosophy, a whole segment of Jewry known as centrist Jewry, which the shita is that a person should not be too much machmir or too much mekel. He should be basically middle of the road. Middle of the road Judaism. I always say if you're in the middle of the road, you should get hit by a car. Not a great place to walk. Right? Better to be either on one side or the other side. Right? Elianovi said, Admosei Atemposki. You can't tans of alechasanis. You have to choose a derech. Either this way, that way. And the mistake of this idea is that the Rambam says that the golden medium, right, the middle of the road is the best way to choose. Shouldn't be too much to the right, too much to the left, in the middle. But the Rambam is talking about midos. Right? In midos, character traits, that's true. A person shouldn't be an extremely stingy person or an extremely generous person. Should be somewhere in the middle. There are exceptions when you should go to either extreme. But the norm is to be in the middle when it comes to midos. That does not apply to halacha. It doesn't apply to anything else except midos. There's no idea that a person should always look to be mekel, to try to do the least, right? It's not true. The person should always try to do what the halacha says. Sometimes the exception is to be mekel, and sometimes the exception is to be machmer. But normally, a person should do the halacha. But not look to be, what's it called, bedafka, look to find the more lenient opinion. Sometimes the halacha is the more strict opinion, sometimes the halacha is the more lenient opinion, sometimes the halacha is somewhere in between, and doing more is being strict, and doing less is being make. Well, the problem of this generation on all sides is, people don't know halacha. They have no idea what halacha is. Even, I shouldn't say Talmid Chachamim, B'nai Torah. People who have that what's it called, title. People sit and learn. But they many times have no idea what halacha is. So there are people, therefore, who feel that the chumras that they do is the halacha, not realizing that the halacha is not what they do. The halacha says it's okay to do less. I'm doing more because I'm machmir. And sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not good. We'll get to when it's good and when it's not good in a second. Other people have gotten used to leniencies that are not the halacha. These are kulas. They're not the mainstream halacha. They're leniencies, which sometimes are okay and sometimes not okay. And they feel that their leniencies is the halacha. So what's the problem? The problem is that somebody who feels that his chumras are halacha looks at somebody who's not machmir as somebody who's going against the halacha. He's an abarian, a shegetz, because he's not doing what the halacha says, when really he is doing what the halacha says, he's just not being machmir. The other person looks at the people who are doing what the halacha says and not being mekel like they are as fanatics. Then, in fact, they're not fanatics, they're just doing what the halacha is, and you're the one who is doing what is a leniency that may be okay under certain circumstances, may not be okay. Even if it's okay, it's a leniency. The halacha is different. And the people who are doing the halacha are not fanatics. They're doing what the halacha is. You're the ones who are doing something lenient. So because people have no idea what halacha is, so they make their kulas into halacha or their chumras into halacha and look at everybody else either as a fanatic or an abarian. Right? Like a shegetz. So that's why there's so much polarization. People know what halacha is, and they want to be machmer, fine. You want to be makel, fine, under certain circumstances. But it's not always good to be machmer, it's not always good to be makel. The rule is, do what the halacha says. When is it okay to be machmer? If the halacha is not clear. And you want to be extra careful and make sure that you want to fulfill all the possible opinions, because there are differences of opinion, and we're talking about something that is a serious thing, right? It could be, according to one opinion, doing this is Chilul Shabbos. Another opinion is it's okay to do. Another opinion is that it's not Chilul Shabbos, but it's not proper to do, whatever. So it could be lahalacha. You'd be allowed to do that. Right? But since there are opinions that say that it's Chilul Shabbos, and you can avoid it, so avoid it. An example. Opening cans, bottles, whatever. There are definitely people, chashuva people, who are matrid. Right? There were chashuva poskim who hold it. You can open all bottles, all cans, whatever. There are definitely poskim who hold that opening any bottles or cans is an issa d'oraisa and your machal Shabbos. There are other poskim who hold that depends what it is and how you do it or whatever. So somebody who says, look, I follow the poskim that say that it's mutter. So even though the normal halacha would be perhaps that I should be careful, since there are poskim who hold that it's aser and I shouldn't do it, but I follow these poskim all the time and they say it's mutter, I'm going to do it. So I'm being makel, I'm following a lenient opinion, but I have the right to do that. Right? On the other hand, somebody who doesn't follow those poskim all the time and there's a difference of opinion, right? So I want to be machmer and not open. Now it's a chumrah, right? My rebbeim per se hold that you can open cans, bottles, whatever. Tells they held that mutter v'yemeir bloch. Well, but since there are many poskim, we hold not like that. So by us, we're machmer, right? That we don't open those things. But to show that it's only a chumrah and it's not the halacha, because we hold the halacha is you could open it, l'maisa l'halacha. But since there are poskim who say it's a good thing to not, we're talking about Chilul Shabbos, better to be choshish for those poskim who say that it's aser. But it's only a chumrah. It's not the halacha, because halacha wise we could follow the people that we normally follow, or the people that are obeying. So in order to show that, we let children open bottles. Normally, if something's aser, you can't have a child do it. It's aser to let a child do what you can't do. Right? It could be an issur d'oraisa to let a child do it. But if it's only a chumrah, then you're allowed to let the child do it, since you know the halacha it's mutter, and you really could do it. But your machmir, you could let the child under bar mitzvah do it. So that's clear, then it's only a chumrah, because if it wouldn't be a chumrah, it would be the halacha, you couldn't let the child do it. That's a case where you're machmir because you want to be yotzei different opinions, even though the halacha is probably like one opinion. Hold. That's one kind of case. Another case where it's good to be machmer, a person knows that if they follow the halacha in something, it's going to lead them to do worse things. So even though the halacha says it's okay to do, right? But they know that they have a weakness in that area, and therefore if they follow the normative halacha, it's going to lead them to things that are not permissible. So that kind of person should be machmer and stay away from the normative halacha, to stay far away from falling into a problem, because in this specific area you know that you're weak, you're vulnerable. That's another place where being machmer is a good thing. The other hand, being machmer where it's going to lead to a kula, just the opposite. If I'm machmer, right, I know that I have certain needs. If I follow the regular halacha, I'll be able to satisfy those needs and still keep the halacha. If I try to be too machmer, then the end result is going to be that I'm not going to keep anything. I'm going to give up the whole thing and be over an aveira, because I'm really not on that level to be machmer. And so that's what Adam Arishon did. He made kolamosif goreya. Sometimes when you do too much, you end up doing nothing. Do what you're supposed to do. And that way you'll be able to do what you can do on the level you are. Don't try to get a level that you can't do, and then the end result is that you won't do anything, because it's too much. So then the chumrah is not a good chumrah. not a good thing to be machmer, where the chumrah is going to lead you to give up the whole thing because you can't keep up. You're not on that level, really. You're doing something that you really can't cope with. Okay. Looks good, but it's not good for you. Another possible, where a chumrah is not good, where the chumrah is a chumrah in one thing, but leads to a kula in something else. Example I always like to give, even though there are many other examples, but for the sake of tznius or whatever, I'll give an example that has to do with sukkot, instead of example has to do with taras mishpach or something like that. Sukkah. Okay, there are people who are machmer not to drink water outside the sukkah. It's a nice chumrah. Right? It's only a nice chumrah, though, if you have a sukkah readily available. But if your sukkah is not readily available, and because you won't drink water outside the sukkah, you're not going to be eating or drinking during Chol HaMoed, which is a bittul of Simchas Yontif, then because of your chumrah in sukkah, you're going to be over a halacha of being mevatel Simchas Yontif, which is a much more important thing than just a chumrah not eating outside the sukkah water. So your chumrah is going to lead you to a kula. That's your machmer in this, but it comes out to be a kula and something more significant. That's not a proper chumrah either. So there are times when chumrahs are proper and times when it's not, and depends on the person many times. What is good? It depends also on the community that you're in. Right? You don't want to do things that make you stand out, right, and people consider you strange. Either because you're too machmer or you're too maker. Usually you should do what the community is doing. Not more, not less. Kulas also. Sometimes kulas will lead you to, you have what's it called, a halacha, and you want to be makel in that halacha, and that's going to lead you to do things that are wrong altogether. In that situation, you shouldn't be makel. On the other hand, if you know that keeping the regular halacha for you is going to be untenable, and in the end you're not going to be able to keep anything, then better to rely on the kula. About tshuva. Lives in a house where the parents have a minimal kashrus standard, and if they're going to be machmer, they're going to cause shalom bayis problems. They're not going to have what to eat. They're going to who knows what's going to come from this. So then better to be makel and to rely on a lesser standard and to have shalom bayis and to be able to eat. So each situation, sometimes doing what's a leniency is wrong. Sometimes doing a leniency is what's proper. Most of the time, doing what the halacha is the starting point, and then to decide whether this is a thing that's yotzei min haklal, an exception to the rule, where either I should be machmer or I should be mekel. And know that if you're being machmer, you're being machmer. You're not doing what the halacha says, you're doing more, for whatever reason. And if you're being mekel, you're being mekel. You're not doing what the halacha says, you're being lenient, for whatever reason. And then you know how to look at other people who are not machmer or not makel, who are doing what the halacha says. You can see them in the right perspective. So many times being lazy leads a person to the feeling that I always have to be makel. I always have to find the more lenient way. Right? And sometimes that comes from a whole wrong perspective of Torah. Right? And that comes most of the time from having a wrong outlook on life. You don't have a Torah outlook. You basically have a secular outlook on life. But you want to keep mitzvahs. So I saw Rabbi David Hollander, Zecher Tzadik, well, he was nifter, I think, this past year. I saw once he wrote that somebody who has basically a secular lifestyle, his values, his standards, his goals in life are all secular, based on secular ideas or whatever, but he's from. Wants to keep tarig mitzvahs. That person does not have 613 mitzvahs. That person has 613 problems. Because every mitzvah is a problem. Every mitzvah is a conflict with his way of life, with his ideas, with his standards, his values. Before you can do a mitzvah, you have to have the right perspective on life. You have to have a Torah perspective on life, Torah values, Torah ideas. Then the mitzvahs fit those ideas, that lifestyle, like a glove. Mitzvahs then are easy, they're not problems. And there's no idea to try to minimize the problem that the mitzvah presents and be the most lenient you can. Then you have less of a problem. That's only because there's a conflict between your lifestyle and your more values and standards and the Torah. But if you'll adapt your standards, values, lifestyle, and get a Torah outlook, then the mitzvahs won't be a problem for you. And you won't have to look to be lenient in them because they present problems that you need to be lenient in order to be able to promote your lifestyle, which is not what the Torah wants. So that's another reason why people look for kulas. One reason is because they're lazy. They just don't want to do things the hard way. They want to have the easy way. That's what he's talking about. Laziness. Then there's because a person has a vested interest in looking at Torah as a problem in his life that he has to do, but it's a problem. And I want to reduce my problems and try to live my life as I want to live it, with the Torah interfering as little as possible. It's another reason why a person want to be lenient all the time. Why a person want to be machmer all the time is other reasons. People, what's it called, want to get attention. They are baligaiva, right? They need excitement in their life, so the chumrah of the week gives them excitement, right? They can look down on other people and say, well, you're not as frum as I am, or whatever. So there's all different kinds of reasons why people would want to be mekel, or people want to be machmer. But the real thing is to keep what the halacha is. And in those instances where being machmer for you is what's necessary and good, then be machmer. For the reasons that we said, and many other reasons. Or, for you, you should be mekel, for the various reasons. Again, with guidance. You can't just choose these things on your own, because they're also part of halacha. You have to know when it's okay to be mekel, when it's not okay to be mekel. You have to ask a shayla. Just as much you have to shayla what the halacha is. But there are times to be mekel, times to be machmer. Basically, keep the halacha. Don't look at the Torah as a problem that needs to be minimized. Don't look at the Torah as something you can use to make yourself look good. Either way is not good. That's pretty much what he's talking about over here, chumras and kulas. Any questions on this?
We're in a group of people, there's no rob there, and somebody goes about what they're going to do, and someone shouts out, this isn't chumradic enough. This is how you should do it, but it's not a rob. Do you need to listen to opinions like that? They said, I've heard that this is the way to do it, this is the way we've always done it in my family, and they're talking about something which is probably a chumrah. And to not do it is like saying, I've never heard of that, my rab didn't tell me that, I don't have to do that. Do you have to be influenced in that situation?
No, you have to check out and find out. If the person who said knows what he's talking about and can show you, right, this is the way it should be, is one thing. But if I heard something, I heard once that this is whatever, this is what we always did in my house, right? So then you should check it out and find out.
But at the moment, you don't have to abide by their opinion.
At the moment? I don't know. It really depends on the situation. I can't answer that. Depends what it is. If somebody says, that's Chilul Shabbos, don't do it. And it's what's it called, you're not sure. Maybe he's right. Right? And there's no reason why you bedafka have to do what you're doing, then better wait and check it out instead of doing something that may be a terrible thing. If it's something not like that, again, it really depends on the situation. But if it's something that really could be an aveira, and you're not sure, then better not do it than do it. And have a chance to check and find out if it's okay for the next time. I mean, there are situations where you don't have to worry about it because you don't have to take in consideration. Everybody said the way we did it, maybe the way you did it was always wrong. I don't know, maybe you got it wrong, you thought that's the way they always did it, or whatever. Again, if it's something that could be right, and it could be you're doing something awesome, and there's no reason why the dafki have to do it, so wait and check. Don't do it and check it out. Yeah.
Focus on one prat that the Rav said. That one a reason that a scenario where one should be machmir, or is good to be machmir, is to be choshish for a shita that's not halacha, because there might be others that hold that way.
And say, I said, where there are, there's always das yochids that you could be choshish for, and then you make a whole new religion. But in the situation of opening cans, right? There are definitely a good number of poskim will say one way, a good number of poskim say the other way. Right, some poskim in the middle, right? So, unless you have somebody you always follow, right, one way or the other, and you're mechuyev, then it's good to say, look, this is a big shaila, big machlokas. Why should I put my head in the midst of all of this and do what I can avoid and either let children do it or do it before Shabbos? That's the kind of case. Not where there's a das yochid, somebody holds this thing is osur and therefore I have to be choshish for that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where there is a very big difference of opinion amongst recognized poskim, and even though you normally would follow one posek, but there are other poskim that you normally follow also. So there, it's not so clear that it's a mimach. That's what's talking about. Not that you have to follow every time there's somebody who holds it, it's osur. That's a child.
Maybe what's not clear to me is the example, because I thought the Rav was saying that the one who he normally would follow holds his mutter, if one is rechoshish for others.
Yeah, because there are a lot of qualified poskim that what's it called that hold that what you would normally follow a das that's mekel, but he's a das yochid. And he's not the posek that you usually follow. He's Rebbeim, no, as a situation. You follow Rebbeim Meir Bloch. But happens to be that he's one of the tells of Rosh Hashivas. But poskim wise, follow Rav Moshe Feinstein or Rav Eliyoshev or whatever. So in that kind of situation, it's good to be choshish for the other poskim, but not to make it something that's a bizoyan to your Rebbeim. It's a chumra, it's not lahaloch.
Why doesn't the Rav follow the poskim that you normally follow in that case?
Because since I have Rebbeim that held mamash the other way, it would be a chutzpah for them also to totally ignore their percent. So we do a pshara that on the one hand choshesh not to do it because the poskim holds osur, and at the same time to do it in a way that's not a chutzpah to the Rebbeim. That's the pshara. Along those same lines, on the other hand, we are makel to open certain kinds of things, right? For instance, milk things, we open on Shabbos. Okay, we don't do dafka before Shabbos. We open milk things. What other kind of things
what,
do we?
milk
bags. Because nobody uses them again, and those things are not kalim bechlal. That's real. So we open milk bags on Shabbos. Well, what's up? And some other things. Again, we open. If it's necessary, we'll open, we're putting a hole in a can or whatever that many poskim say is okay, put a hole and then open it once there's a hole in it to begin with. A kalpa, for whatever the reasons are. So one of my daughters was in high school and they were learning Hilchos Shabbos, and the teacher said that these things are osur to do and they're Hilchos Shabbos or whatever. And my daughter innocently raised her hand and she said, but we do that in our house, right? We open whatever it was. So the teacher said, if you do that in your house, then your parents are mechal le'Shabbos. My daughter came home crying, right? That she was shocked that her father's a Rav and is mechal Shabbos. And it really bothered her. It bothered me even more. Wrote this teacher a letter, which I don't think helped anything, because the teacher was a young teacher who never really knows what she was talking about, just know what it says in the sefer that she had. And I showed her that there's a lot of different opinions. Even if she would look in the footnotes of some of the svarim, she'll see that there's people all differently, whatever. I said, whatever it is, even let's say you're 100% right, that there's nobody who says this is mutter, and if anybody does it, they're mechal Shabbos. You don't tell a 15-year-old girl that her father, who is supposed to be a Rav, is Mechal Shabbos. You call up the father and give him Musa. Tell him, your daughter said that you do this. How could you do it? You're Mechal Shabbos. I'd be very happy to hear Musa, right, and to let you know how much of an ignoramus you are. I'd be very happy to do it. But to tell my daughter that her parents are Mechal Shabbos, even if it's true, what kind of chinuch is that? Call the father and tell him he's Mechal Shabbos. Don't tell a daughter. So that also, some people, again, have no idea what halacha is. Right? They heard whatever from the people they hear from. They don't have no idea that there's anybody else in the world that maybe disagrees and that there's other opinions. And these are teachers here, too. And they're Mechalka, who knows what. Right? And so if a girl wouldn't come home and you know, and discuss it. So she'll say, well, my parents probably don't have no idea what they're doing, so they're all nobody knows what they're doing anyway, so everything they told me is not right, and who knows what kind of go off the derech because of that. Right? Or the terrible problems of Kibbutz Avraham because of that. So that's not chinuch either, but it comes from this idea of not knowing what halacha is, what it's a chumra, what's a kula, what there's differences of opinion, when there are other opinions. It's horrendous. Okay. Klolos Shaldover, bottom line. Chizik Godel Tzorech Ha'adam L'Shchazek L'Shgaber B'Zrizos Lasos HaMitzvah V'Hashlichu Me'alav Kovet Ho'atzlo HaMakeves HaYodam. It's a very important thing for a person to overcome his laziness and do what he's supposed to do. V'Tirash HaMalachim L'Shtabchu B'Midazos. This is something that Malachim excel in. Shenemar Bohem Gibore Koach Osa Devaro L'Shmo V'Kol Devaro. They do it immediately. No, they don't wait and they don't delay and they're not lazy, right? And this pasuk was said on Shemitah. People who keep Shemitah are like angels in this respect, because it's easy to have zrizus with a mitzvah that takes a few minutes, comes once a year. Everybody can be a zoriz and shofar or whatever, but a mitzvah that lasts for a year. So the first day you're really gung ho about it. But as months go by, and those garbage cans, you know, every day bringing out to those seven garbage cans a big tircha, and making sure that you keep those what's it called, the peels and whatever, and let them rot, and be very careful not to spill this or spill that. It becomes very tedious. That kind of mitzvah, you have to be a malach. Because that kind of mitzvah, the laziness, the excitement wears off very quickly, right? It can wear off by shofar, but the shofar is only 2 days, right? And the same thing with any mitzvah that comes once a year. But when you have a mitzvah that's a whole every day for a whole year, you have to be like a malach to overcome the laziness. The Omer v'achayus rotzo v'shov kemari habezek. The spiritual beings, the chayos, They're quick, swift. They're no laziness. People are people. They're not malachim. It's impossible a person should come to the level of a malach and be constantly, you know, swift and no laziness or whatever. We're human beings. We're physical beings. And like you said in the beginning, just being a physical person, there's inertia. It's hard to get your body moving, especially in the morning. Whatever a person can be more like a malach in these areas, the better it is. David HaMelech praised himself in this respect, and he said, I didn't delay, and I was very quick in keeping the mitzvahs. And if David HaMelech thought that was a tremendous praise, that means that it's not an easy thing to do, and it's something to feel that you're, it's praiseworthy to do, because it's not so easy to do. If it's easy to do and everybody does it, nothing to be meshabeach yourself, nothing to brag about. But something to brag about, if not everybody can do it and it's difficult and you do it anyway, then it's something to brag about. Okay.
What is it been, for example, of mitzvah last year rather than mitzvah last year?
What?
Why does he bring it?
No, he doesn't bring it. I mentioned it. It says that it mentions the malachim are gibore koach. That describes the malach. But the Gemara also uses that pasuk to describe people who keep Shemitah. So I just said that takes a lot of zrizus to keep a mitzvah that you have to do for an entire year.
So why bring the example of mitzvah last 3 years rather than mitzvah that we do every day?
Yeah, it could be the same thing, but they're not mitzvahs that are constantly, they're once a day. They're not every day, all day, for an entire year. Shemitah, in that respect, is a tefillin you put on once a day, every day. Shema, you say twice a day, but it's twice a day, not all day. One of the few mitzvahs that's all day, every day, for a year.
What? When you're eating.
What, when you're eating? No. What's it called? That you can't work on the field, and you have to work. There's a million halachas that apply every single day, everywhere you turn, in the Shemitah year, right? There's a lot of things.
Right?
If you have a garden or you have to buy food and you have to go shopping or whatever, it's a constant thing.
Okay.